John chapter 4, verse 24, and when you get there, if you'll please stand for the reading of God's Word this morning, if you're able to. John 4 and 24. Can we read this together this morning? Let's try it. John 4 and 24. Here the Bible says, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Father, thank You for the reading of Your Word this morning. Lord, I'm thanking You, God, for the sweet spirit we can feel in our hearts. Lord, I just ask You now, God, to anoint us for just a few minutes to be able to preach upon Your Word. May You be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Well, here in the Gospel of John and throughout the Bible, we find that God is once again talking about something that's very near and dear to His heart. And that something is called worship. Worship. That word worship, boy, it really incites a lot of people. That word worship, so many folks have so many different thoughts about it, what it means, what they think worship is, what they think they ought to do during worship, what all worship entails. And boy, you can really get some people riled up when you start talking about worship. Just about a year ago, I made a post on social media. And if you don't like Facebook, that's fine. I don't like it either. I hate it. But sometimes it's a necessary evil. But God can use those things for good as well. And I use it to try to glorify God in what I do. But I was, about a year ago, I posted a post on there that, and I was inviting folks to church. Something simple. I do it every week. I invite people to church every week that way. And I was inviting folks to church, and I don't know. I thought I took upon myself to explain what we do here. And I said, first of all, explain what we don't do. I said, well, come and worship with us. I said, no flashing lights, no loud drum beats, no rock and roll music, none of that stuff, only good hymn singing, spiritual singing, fellowshipping, praying, and preaching. And you would not believe the anger that some people had over what I posted. I mean, they were enraged over what I posted. I got so many vile comments on that post of people trying to tell me that I didn't understand worship, and just cause that I did it a certain way and I don't believe the way they do it, that I was wrong. And boy, one woman particularly took it so personal. Before she unfriended me, boy, she let me have it up one side and down the other, tell me all the bad things, you know, all this stuff about why that I couldn't reach people and all this stuff because I threw up all these walls and everything. I mean, she just got all tore up before she unfriended me. But people really, I mean, when you start talking about worship, people get excited and get, you really start stepping on some toes when you say something negative about what they believe their worship ought to be. Now listen, our worship derives from our heart. It derives from what God has put inside of us. And we're going to look at what God's Word says about worship. Now, man says a lot about worship. And we've got there's a lot of false misconceptions of what worship means. A lot of people think worship means one thing, and it don't mean that. And a lot of things that's going on in churches today is not worship. It's not God worship. It's flesh worship. It's man worship. But I want to look at what God's Word today says about worship. Now, the word worship, it's actually in our King James Bible here. And by the way, I've got my dad's old King James Bible right here, and I love it. There's so many notes written in here that I could preach out of this Bible right here and not ever write a single note. But this King James Bible right here, it translates that word into worship 108 times in our King James Bible. Now, it comes from two different words. One is a Hebrew word, and it's pronounced kashaw in Hebrew. And the Greek word over in the New Testament is where we use today. It's proskuneo. It's a Greek word. And those two words, it's used 253 times throughout the Bible. If you looked in the original languages, 253 times worship is mentioned. Now, of course, we've translated, the King James translators translated the word into worship. Now, throughout the Bible, the word is used, whether it's in the Old Testament or the New Testament, it means exactly the same thing. And the definition of it is, according to the Bible, is to depress, to prostrate, to bow down, to crouch, to fall down flat, to humbly beseech, to make obeisance, to reverence, to make, to stoop. Do you understand what that's saying? That when the Bible's talking about worship, I don't find where the Bible's talking about all these silly things that people think worship is today. What I find when the Bible talks about worship, every single time, it's somebody falling down in front of the Lord. Now, sometimes the word worship in the Bible is talking about people worshiping false idols. And they're falling down in front of the false idols and false gods. But when the Lord's talking about worship, when he says that men must worship him in spirit and truth, it's falling down at his feet. It's coming before him and getting humble in front of the Lord and praising him and glorifying him for who he is. That's what worship is. Now, my definition, if you want to write this down, worship is an outward act motivated by an inward belief of something or someone. What we believe in our hearts, what our convictions are, leads to how we worship. That's what we worship from, our inner beliefs. And we do it in an outward expression. Now, in our opening text here, in John 4:24, Jesus tells us in order to worship, what does he say there? He says we must, if we want to worship God, he says we must worship him in spirit and in truth. If that's the way, if God's going to be worshiped, that's how he has to be worshiped, right there, in spirit and in truth. If he's worshiped in any other way, it's not true worship. It's not real. And so we must worship in spirit and in truth. We're going to look at that here in a minute. Now I want you to turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And I love to hear that little baby. Boy, isn't that something? That is beautiful. That's beautiful. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. I believe that baby's just saying amen. I believe that's what that is. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. And here the Bible says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him unto all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Friends, I want you to know this morning, the Lord lays a lot of emphasis on worship. A lot of emphasis. Now, we didn't read it this morning, but if you would look back in chapter 3, you're going to find that just before this, that Jesus had been there by the Jordan. He had walked by, and John the Baptist was over there baptizing people. And here comes Jesus along. Behold, here comes the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And here Jesus comes to him, and Jesus tells him that he must baptize him. And John's confused. Now, wait a minute, Lord. If anybody needs to be baptized here, you need to baptize me. And he says, no, you must suffer to be so. And so John baptizes Jesus there in the Jordan. And we all know what happens. And the Father spoke from heaven in a loud voice. And he said, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And after that, after all that wonderful thing that just happened, we find the next thing that Jesus does in his ministry. And by the way, that begins his earthly ministry. He's about 30 years old at the time. And this begins what we know from our Bibles of Jesus' earthly ministry. And he immediately goes from being baptized in the Jordan. Now listen, he didn't get baptized because he was a sinner, all right? He did that so that we would have a way to follow after him that was just a symbol, a sign that we would follow after him, showing that when we got saved, that we would go down as the old creature and come up as a new one, a newness in Christ, and we would reflect what he did. But he didn't get baptized because he was a sinner. No, friends. And so he begins this new earthly ministry, and the next thing we find after he gets baptized is he goes for 40 days into the wilderness to be tempted. The Bible says to be tempted of the devil. He went there specifically to be tempted of the devil. Matthew tells us it was to be tempted of the devil. Here we're going to see that this is the devil. We just read it. It was the devil that was tempting him. And so all this happened. And you know what that got me to thinking of? And while Jesus didn't get baptized because he was a sinner and got saved, we do. We were a sinner, we got saved, and then we get baptized. We baptized that young lady here last Sunday morning. And I love baptisms. I love them with all my heart. Because it's just it's an outward expression, a sign, a symbol to all the world. Listen, I once was a sinner. I once was lost, but I've been found. I once was lost and I was dying and going to hell, but now I've been saved. Through the power of Jesus, I've been saved and bought by His blood. And so I want to tell the world, and this is what I'm doing. I'm showing the world as a sign. I'm no longer that vile creature I once was. No, that one's dead. That one's drowned. That one's gone. And I've come up a brand new creature in Christ. And friends, there's nothing more beautiful than to see somebody follow the Lord in believer's baptism. But I thought about that. As the Lord went and is immediately after being baptized, He faces the devil. I want you to know today, immediately after you get baptized, you face the devil. After you get saved, the first thing that happens to you, you face the devil. You go through a trial. You go through temptations. You go through your own wilderness. And it's usually longer than 40 days. It may be 40 years. It may be 80 years. It may be the rest of your life you're going to go through the problems with the devil. You're going to face him on a daily basis. And so we find here a truth in our Bibles that even though that we may be believers in Christ, we've trusted Jesus, we're still going to be facing the devil. Even Jesus Himself has to face the devil. Look at verse 1 again. It said, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." So the first thing I notice about worship, and you may say, well, this is a weird place to be preaching about worship in. I want you to know this is a very important place to be talking about worship. This is Jesus speaking on it. In fact, toward the end of it, and we'll get to it here in a minute, He starts talking about worship a lot. But here it says that He is being led by the Spirit. In order for us to truly worship, to be a worshiper of God, we must be led of the Spirit. You got to be led of the Spirit. You cannot worship God and not be filled with the Spirit or be led by the Spirit. The Bible says we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Listen, if you're lost today, you can't worship God. You just can't do it. You can go through pretenses. You can come to a service and go through all the actions. You can mimic what somebody else does. You can go down and sing. You can testify. You can do anything you want to. But if you've not been saved, you're not really worshiping. It's not true because you don't have the Spirit within you. And so we must be led. The number one thing about worship is we must be led by the Spirit, not our own thoughts, not what we think it ought to be, but what God says. And let me say this. You can't be led by the Spirit as long as you're living for the world. And living in the world. If you're living like the world, your life reflects the world, you've got sin in your heart, you're not being led by the Spirit. Friends, you're being led by yourself, by your flesh. And so you can't worship God truly and in spirit and truth as long as you're filled full of sin. We must repent of our sins. We must come to the Lord and get things cleaned up in our hearts before we can come down and worship in spirit and in truth. Otherwise, it's a lie. But the Bible talks about something called the sanctification process. Paul talks about it quite often. And it's the process that a Christian goes through right after we get saved. And what it is, it's every day, it's our walk with Jesus. It's our walk. It's how you walk with Jesus. Listen, I know people have been saved 30, 40 years. And you know they're just the same spiritual little baby they were on the day they got saved. They've not walked with the Lord. They've not went through any sanctification. They've not lived any different. They've not done a single thing different. They talked about those two coats right there. They've refused to put their new coat on. They're not wearing a new coat. They're still wearing the old coat. And some of those people, I've got to truly wonder if they've ever been saved. Some people come to me and they'll say, well, you know what? I just don't desire to be in church. I don't desire to be around God's people. I don't have that. Well, I'll tell you what, friends. I believe if you've been saved, you're going to desire to be around the people of God. You're going to desire to do the things that God wants you to do. You're going to desire to worship Him. You're going to desire to serve Him. You're going to desire to do the things of God. And so if you don't desire that, I've got to wonder if you've truly ever been saved. Notice here in verse 1 that Jesus, it says, is full of the Holy Ghost. Now, we know that we're filled with the Holy Ghost. We call Him the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. When we're saved, immediately upon being saved, the Holy Spirit moves inside of you. And He is now dwelling within you. And so, and you're in Him, you're in the Holy Spirit. And so we're one all together. And we're supposed to let Him guide us where we go. That's why we are in Him and He's in us, is to guide us through this life as a Christian. And so we are to go day by day through our daily sanctification process. Now, sanctification simply means an act of purification, an act of being made holy. Listen, you're not ever going to achieve pure holiness until you reach heaven. But what we're to do between the time we get saved and the time we reach heaven, we're to go through a sanctification. It's what we're saying is, Lord, I want to be like you. I want to walk like you. I want to talk like you. I want to act like you. I want to think like you. And so that's how we go through a sanctification. And you will find that the more that you stay closer to God, the more you walk in the Spirit, the more you study His Word, the more you pray, the more you come to church. You know, people knock church today. Boy, people are really harsh on church today. You know, church, we don't have to be in church. Being in church don't make you a Christian any more than being in the garage makes you a car. Boy, and I tell you what, that just tears me up. I don't like to hear that. And I know I've said it before. I'll say it again. Garages were made for cars to be properly maintained, and churches are for Christians to be properly maintained. We come in here and we hear the Word of God preached. We go to Sunday school because your Sunday school teacher spent this week studying for a Sunday school lesson, and they want to tell you what God's Word says. And so we come here and we hear a Sunday school lesson. We come, we sit in church, and we hear the Word of God preached by the man of God. We sing songs. We listen to songs. These songs they sung over here a while ago, the songs we sung in the choir, was all lifting up and exalting the Lord Jesus. And that's why we come here, friends. It's part of our process as a Christian. And we ought to desire to be in the house of God. But the Lord, it says, was being led by the Spirit. So to worship Him in spirit and truth, we must be led by the Spirit. Look at verse 2. It says, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. The second thing I notice here about worship is we must worship God by every word of God. By every word of God. Do you see that? He says that it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Listen, there's a lot of churches you could go to today, and they'll work up a service. You ever been to a place where they work it up? Hey, I've been to those churches. They work it up. Before we came to this church, we visited several churches. We went to one, and we were hoping it was going to be a really good church. I mean, a lot of people went there. Several people. Hundreds, probably 200 people went there on Sunday morning. And I thought, well, you know, I'm going here and see what they got. So we'd go, and we loved the music. Boy, they had good music. They sung out of the Redback church hymnal. Played great. They had special singing. I mean, just great, great, great. And we thought, well, this might be the church for us. And so we'd go, and we visited, and the preacher didn't get up and preach. So, okay, well, you know, because everybody, you know, it was a good service. Everybody was up, and they were crying and hugging and going on all over the church. Nobody got saved, but they were hugging and crying. And then we went back and the next Sunday, same thing. And I was like, well, I'd like to hear that preacher preach. Go back the next Sunday, preacher still didn't preach. I mean, we're going, well, what did we go, two, three, four times or something so for that church? They never did preach. They never preached. They started out singing a song, and then Sister So-and-so over there just start shouting. Brother So-and-so then get up and start running. Sister So-and-so over there start crying. And then Brother So-and-so, they come around, and then the next thing you know, they're all going around the church in a big circle. They're hugging and crying and going on and blathering and blithering. But nobody ever preached the Word of God. It was never preached. Now listen, I know there's times for that. There are services when the Holy Spirit takes a hold of us and it breaks out. And we do get excited. And there will not be preaching. The Lord uses those types of services. But every Sunday, every time you go to church, the Word of God is not opened up and read. Friends, I don't feel completed until I hear from the Word of the Lord. I love singing. If there's anybody in here that loves singing any better than me, maybe Brother Scott and Brother Roger loves it better than me. I seriously doubt that. I love singing. And I could sit here and listen to them sing all day. But until I open up the Word of God and I hear what God says, friends, I don't feel complete. Because we need to hear what God says. The Bible says, Jesus said, we worship by every word of God. He says we can't live on bread alone. You see, the singing is what we could say, the bread. I mean, that bread, we love it. We eat that bread up. My daughter loves them rolls. We go to a restaurant and they bring out them rolls. They don't bring them rolls out. She's mad. But I don't eat them because I don't want to get filled up. I like the steak and stuff to eat. But those rolls, you know, you can't just live on a roll. You can't live on the bread alone. You got to have the meat. And so when we hear the good singing, we get excited. We hear the good song sung and they lift us up. Boy, it stirs the water in our soul. And we're going to be talking about that more tonight, the music and worship. We're going to talk about it tonight. So be prepared. But all that gets the Spirit stirred up in our souls, and it prepares us for the preached Word of God. And then the man of God gets up and stands and says, this is what God says. And friends, then we get that meat and we get filled with it. Jesus, he spends 40 days here in the wilderness fasting. Listen, he's at a very critical point here. Remember, he's 100% God, but he's 100% man. He's hungry. How'd you like to go 40 days without eating? Hey, I can't go 2 hours without eating. He's went 40 days without eating. He's hungry. He's famished. He's weak. He'd love to eat something. I'm sure of it. And here the devil comes, and you know what he does? He comes to him at his lowest point. He tries to attack him at his weakest. Now we know he's God. We know he can overcome and prevail above all. But I want you to know today that the devil will come to you and he will punch your weak spots. He knows man. The devil's been around a long time. He's not omniscient. He's not omnipresent. But he knows man. He knows women. He knows men. He knows how to push your buttons. He knows the thing that makes you weak. He knows the sin that so easily besets you. And so what does he do? He finds that spot in you. And that's where he attacks. He's attacking Jesus here because he's hungry. And so he starts trying to entice him. Listen, if you're the Son of God, then you turn these stones into bread. Prove yourself there. Eat. And you know that would have to be tempting. To me, I'd say, boy, that's awful tempting. I'd turn that into an old Charlie's roll right now. You know, Lord could have done that. He could have done that. And so the devil's trying to attack him at his weakest point. But Jesus says, hey, listen, you can't live on bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's where that we have to pay attention to. And so to truly worship the Lord in spirit and truth, we've got to do it through the word of God. Not just through singing, not just through music, not just through fellowship, boo-hooing and crying and going on. That's not worshiping in the Word of God, okay? So it all comes through the Word of God. And may I say to you this morning that the devil will attack you in your weak spot, whatever it is. And I could go through and start naming off all the sins. We could categorize them and put them in categories and see if one of them hit you. And you'd be sitting there wondering, he's going to say my sin. Friends, you know your sin, and the devil knows it, and that's where he's going to poke you at. But there's a whole lot more going on in the wilderness than just the physical battle. You see, Jesus, it's more than just hunger that he's facing here. He's facing a great spiritual battle, a spiritual battle. And there is a spiritual battle being waged on us today. Right now, I got an email this past week from a pastor, and he is encouraging me to encourage our congregation to contact our representatives, and I did. I contacted Harry Brooks yesterday. He's our representative about this bathroom bill that's coming before. I believe it's on the 18th. We need to contact them before the 18th to back the HB 0888. It's a transgendered bathroom bill for students in schools. And what they're trying to do, these people are trying to push to allow boys to go and use the girls' bathrooms and the showers and all that. But if our representatives will get behind the HB 0888, which is trying to do away with that, and to say that you must go into the bathroom of how you were born, it's on your birth certificate. If our representatives will get behind that here in Tennessee and say, listen, we're not allowing the devil to slide into our schools. We're not going to allow the LGBT community, if that's what they want to call themselves today, to come in and spread their hatred vitriol here with our students. We're not going to allow them to get a hold of our kids. Because that's the devil. That's how he tries to get into your young people, by starting with something like that. Well, you know, we need to be all inclusive. We need to include everyone. We need to love everyone. Listen, we love everybody because God's created them and they have potential and God can save everybody. But I want you to know we don't love that sin. We don't allow it. And we can't stand up and say, oh, you know, that's okay. That's what we've been doing for years. Been rolling over. Saying, oh, go ahead. You know, well, here's another thing. You know, it'll be all right. No, it's not going to be all right. That's how they've infiltrated our schools and our young people. And friends, I want you to know that the devil will use every little place that he can to poke his head in and to get things like that messed up. It's a spiritual battle. Over in Ephesians, Paul writes this in Ephesians 6 and 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So Jesus is dealing a lot more than just flesh and blood here. He's dealing with a spiritual, great spiritual battle of darkness. And that's the devil. We deal with that. But look what he said. He said, it's written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now back to verse 5 of our opening text there. It says, "And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine." Now here we find that word worship being used. Worship. The devil even talking about worship. Third thing I find in worship is we worship God and no one else. Nobody else. Nothing else. Nothing else. He is a jealous. The Bible says he is a jealous God. Not that jealousy like we have of a boy and a girl, how we get mad when somebody talks to your significant other. No, it's a godly jealousy. It's a jealousy knowing that we're running after something or someone besides God and worshiping them and exalting them. And he's a very jealous God. Listen, we can't offer God a single thing. All we've got to worship him is our obedience and our worship. That's all we have to offer God. We can't offer. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He created this earth. He created this world. He created every human being. We can't offer him a thing. He has it all already. All we can offer him is ourselves. And that's in our obedience and our worship. Our worship. And we must worship God and God alone. I tell you what, God places such emphasis on worship. If you only put on a pretense of worship, and it's not the way God commands it to be in spirit and truth, it's not worship at all. God's not pleased with that. He's not going to bless you with something like that. People think that that God sees things on a scale. That as long as their good things outweigh the bad things, then and they keep it all steady, then everything's okay. There's a lot of people that believe that. And so they think God's got this big imaginary scale. Oh, I've messed up. And so they start going down like this. You know, oh, I got to do some good things. Well, the good things go over on this side and they start coming up. And they think as long as they can keep this balanced out or keep them up above the bad, that everything's okay between them and God. That's not how it works. That is not how it works. Friends, I want you to know as a Christian, you don't choose between bad and good. You choose what? Between good and best. That's what we are as Christians. And we always choose the best. And the best is always what God says. Now, God doesn't bless people above others because of when we come into church or just because you came to church and somebody else didn't or they were sick and they weren't able to be here that day. Listen, friends, it all is an internal thing. God knows our hearts. He knows inside of man. He knows our hearts, our thoughts, the intents of our thoughts, everything about us. And so it's all that way. The devil is trying to offer the creator of the world, the world. Isn't that ridiculous? That the devil would come to Jesus, the creator. Because the Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, the Word was with God, and there was nothing made without him. So Jesus was the creator. And here's the devil coming up and saying, listen, if you'll do this, if you'll worship me, I give you all this. It's in my power to give you all this. No, it's not. He already owns it all. And so the devil's trying to offer the creator of the world the world. He's offering him something he doesn't even own. And that's how the devil operates. He tempts you with something that makes it look so good. You would think we would learn by now. You know what? He dabbles a sin out there. It's like the carrot on a stick and the horse out in front of the horse. And the horse is running trying to get it and he can't ever reach it. That's the way we are with sin. He holds that sin out in front of us and we think, oh, I'm going to be so happy if because of this sin right here. If I can just do this, if I can, you know, get into this right, it's going to make me so happy. And it never does. It never achieves it. It always fails in the end, but yet we keep running after it. It leaves us empty. It leaves us sick because that's what sin does. God takes worship so serious over in the Gospel of John 4:23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. The Lord's looking for people to worship him. Why does he have to look for them? Because they're not doing it. Because people are not worshiping him in spirit and truth. So he's looking for them. Are you worshiping the Lord in spirit and truth? Or are you going through your little religious routine? Hey, I've done it. I went through my religious routine. I went to church because I know I'm supposed to. I was raised in church. Sunday morning, you should be there. All right, I don't want to be there, but I'll go anyway. Listen, you ought to come to church anyway, but that ought not to be the thing that instigates you to go to church. It ought to be your desire from in your heart for your love of the Lord Jesus to lift up and exalt Him and want to worship Him is why you come to church. Not because you ought to or think you ought to or somebody else say something about it. But we come because we desire to worship the Lord. He says He's looking for those to worship Him that way. Our worship derives from our humility. You can't come before the Lord all proud and lifted up and like you're something. We must come before Him in humility and worship Him. Humility means to bow down, to make obeisance, the same thing as worship means. And so we've got to worship through humility. We must worship with reverence. A lot of the things that are going on in churches today is not done with reverence. And I don't believe God honors that. I don't believe God's pleased with that. Some people, like the lady that got mad at me for writing about how we don't do certain things. If your song starts out and it sounds like it's some kind of glorified rock concert, that's not glorifying God. The Bible says for us to come together and to sing spiritual songs and hymns. It doesn't say to come in and put on a rock concert. It didn't say to come on and put on some kind of flesh show. A lot of churches today are nothing but a rock and roll flesh show. The flashing lights, the loud drum beats, the whining guitars. I mean, they might as well go ahead and get ZZ Top up on the stage and be playing. And there'd be more people excited about ZZ Top than they would worshiping the Lord Jesus. That's just the truth today. More people would come to hear Luke Bryan this morning than hear the Word of God. By the way, he's a country singer, apparently. Supposedly like one of the best. People would come to hear, what's the old girl, the blonde-headed girl that everybody's going to listen to now? I don't remember her name. They'd rather come and hear some of that garbage than they would hear the Word of God. Why? Because that's what they worship. People are more into worshiping their American idols than they are the true God of heaven. People that call themselves Christians. I could pack this place out. When we had Alan Jackson here, our missionary Alan Jackson, and I posted on Facebook, Alan Jackson was coming to church. Boy, people were excited. Alan Jackson's going to be there. Yeah, from the Honduras. Yeah, straight off his tour from the Honduras. He's dropping in here, Brother Alan and Sister Becky. And boy, there's some good people. But people are so much into the things of the world that they can't worship God in spirit and truth because they're all filled full of the world. We got to worship God with reverence. And listen, I'm not one that preaches on clothing a lot of times. And I know it's a real sticky situation with people, but I want you to know that I believe we ought to wear our best, whatever it is. If it's nothing but a ragged pair of jeans and a t-shirt, if that's your best, then I think you ought to wear that. But I think we ought to wear our best when we come before the Lord and we come to worship Him and come into church. People today, they just step in off the street and go into church like they're going into a restaurant or to wherever, to a ball game. People come in and act like they're going to a ball game or a NASCAR race. Friends, I believe when it comes to the Lord Jesus, we ought to worship Him in reverence. And I believe that we ought to do our very best. People, if you went to go meet the president, you think you'd just get up and slap on the clothes you wore the night before, go in and see him? Wear your pajamas in to see the president? Why, no. You'd wear your very best. Well, most of us would go out and buy something brand new to see the president. But people don't think a thing about coming to church looking like the world dragging in here. I'm not saying in here, but I'm saying churches in general. We should worship the Lord in reverence. Verse 8 of our text, and we'll be finished. The Bible says, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and in him only shalt thou serve." Listen, the sixth thing I find in our worship this morning is that we worship through service. Now, I had a very well-meaning pastor one time that would say, "We don't come into this church to worship or to serve. We come in here to worship." Well, I find the Lord Jesus right here puts the two together. He said, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." He's putting the two things together. Certainly, we leave out of here to go and serve him, but we also serve him inside here. We serve him when we worship. All the different things we do in worship is a part of servitude. Look at what Jesus said. He said, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And the devil was telling Jesus, "If you serve me, and worship me." And so the two go hand in hand. Jesus makes it very clear that worship involves serving. Satan trying to get Jesus to serve him. And if he had of, that would meant that Jesus would have been worshiping Satan and not God. And so yes, serving is a part of worshiping God. Some serving in different ways. I serve him in teaching and preaching. and occasionally singing. And a lot of people serve him in different ways. And here we've had people serve him through song and singing, playing musical instruments. You may serve him by simply taking up the offering. That's part of serving. That's a servitude. You serve him when you support missions. That's part of servitude, by being obedient to God's commission, to the Great Commission, by giving. That's part of servitude. So serving and worship go hand in hand. And those that will that are truly saved will want to serve God in some way. There'll be something in your life that you want. There'll be something inside of you that desires to serve God in some way. And so that's all part of worship. Now, here's another thing that we'll be talking about more tonight. Part of serving in the church is giving your personal testimony. We have an opportunity every single service to give our testimonies. I asked right before the singing, the special singing, does anybody have a testimony you'd like to share? We had some share their testimony. Praise God for that. But our testimonies, what we're doing when we do that, that's our way of saying, God, I want to exalt you by telling everybody else what you've done for me. What you've done in my life, how you've blessed me. You can't imagine what your testimony may mean to somebody else that's sitting in this church. There may be somebody here that's went through one of the most awful weeks of their life, one of the worst years of their life. They may be going through such a struggle, and because you stood up or you sat there and you said, let me tell you what God did for me. I want to share my testimony, whether it's something simple, whether it's long, whatever it may be. As long as you're telling people what Jesus has done for you, I want you to know you're blessing Him, you're serving Him, you're worshiping Him by doing that. We need to tell our testimonies more often. Don't worry about if people get tired of hearing it. I know you're tired of hearing mine. I tell it all the time. Brother Rogers probably worried people are tired of hearing his. I tell it every Sunday. I don't care. I don't care if everybody in this church got up and said, let me tell you about the day I got saved. If you do that every service, I don't care. It wouldn't take us more than 15, 20 minutes. If it took 2 or 3 hours, I don't care. We need to tell people our testimonies. Some of you have went through such awful, awful things in your life. Do you know if you would just tell people how God got you through that? How the Lord was with you during that time? How you might have made a big difference in somebody else? Somebody else sitting here, they could be somebody come visit you don't know, and they went through that same thing, and you could get up and say, let me tell you what happened to me and how the Lord helped me. And just like that, oh, the Holy Spirit will touch that person that's going through that, and they'll say, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you. That's what I needed today. They may not have needed to hear what I had to say, but they may have needed to hear what you had to say. And that's the Lord working through you if you'll just be obedient to Him. Part of our worship is when we give our testimonies. I will talk about that a little more tonight. Right quickly, as they come to get the invitation, I want to give you a recap of what we've said. We worship by being led by the Spirit. If you're being led by any other means, you're not worshiping in spirit and truth. We worship through the Word of God. If it's something outside of this Word, it's not true worship. We worship God and no one else. No one else, not family, not friends, not celebrities, not deity or other deities. Only God, only God. We worship in humility. We worship with great reverence. We worship through serving. Those are only six things that we've looked at this morning. I've got six more tonight, and we're going to look at those closely. But I want to ask you, as they get the invitation song, if you'll please stand. And if the Lord has been speaking to you, if He's dealing with your heart over this subject this morning, or if you need to be saved, you can't worship God unsaved. You can't do it. So I want to ask you this morning, as we have the invitation song, if you will come forward, let me pray with you if you need help today. Go ahead, brother.